In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was going to speak about Romans today, and I still will, but I heard the gospel, as you just did, for a woman martyr. The one about the woman who is a sinner, goes into the house of the Pharisee Simon, and washes the feet of Jesus in gratitude. Simon doesn't understand this. And so Jesus tells a parable. And the parable is that there is someone who owes this man 500, and another owes 50. 500 is a lot. In that culture, 500 was probably more than maybe a year's labor, something he could never pay back. And he forgave both of them. He was gracious to both, as the scripture says. So he asked, which one loves him more? Well, it's a pretty obvious answer, huh? The one who had the greater debt forgiven. St. Paul is giving us today a list of things we should be doing, spiritual things and physical things, but physical things that have a spiritual reason why we do them. And one of the commands that he gives us, he that giveth, let him give with simplicity, like this woman did. Pretty much, Christianity is pretty easy. It's pretty easy to understand. There's complicated parts to it, there's no doubt about it. I mean, no one understands the Trinity except God himself. But basically, how to live is pretty simple. If you understand that you're a sinner and that God has been gracious to you, then you would naturally want to be gracious to others. There's a built-in energy in having gratitude to God. And that gratitude propels you to give with simplicity. Now, if a person gives without simplicity, they give with a reason. I'm encountering that right now, in the prison environment. There's a group that gives to people to have their allegiance. They're a schismatic group. And they give in order to have their allegiance. They give them a substantial stipend, actually. Quite a lot of money in prison. There's a limit to how much a person can get a month, but they're getting more than half that limit. And that's a lot of money. In prison, it really matters if you can get a little bit of black bag coffee. It's better coffee than the red bag. Little creature comforts like that, those things matter when you're deprived quite a bit. And they know that. So they give them a monthly stipend, but they're buying their allegiance. So I came into this prison to deal with another person that I love very much. My connection with him has nothing to do with any kind of coercion. It's very simple. I love him and he loves me. I baptized him. And so when he was transferred, I was able to make arrangements after a long time to be able to get to this prison. Sometimes it's difficult to get into prisons. You might think it's hard to get out of them. It's hard to get into them too. And so these people are kind of marshaling their forces. They don't want these other Orthodox Christians to have anything to do with me because we're considered to be tainted. And so they're buying their loyalty. That's not giving with simplicity. Another aspect of not giving with simplicity is when you have any ulterior motive whatsoever. Maybe you're not buying someone's loyalty, but you're not really doing it just for the sake of gratitude to God. You're doing it maybe because you look good, because you want your name on a plaque on the wall or whatever. So there's many complicated ways to give without simplicity. There's only one way to give with simplicity. That's the way the virtues are, by the way. Virtues are simple. If you love, you love. But if a person does not love, there are hundreds of ways they could act. With duplicity, with anger, with jealousy, all the other things. But you cover all of the virtues by saying you love. The virtues are simple. So giving with simplicity is simple. God has been gracious to us, like this parable about the one who owed 500 and the one who owed 50. We're the one who owes 500, or should it be 5,000? Or maybe it should be 70 times 7. If you know your scripture, you know that's meant to be an infinite number, not 490. We owe God everything, but he's gracious to us. So there should be this simplicity of giving. This should motivate you. You know, I have a saying that I've told you many, many times. I won't tire of saying it, and I hope you don't tire of hearing it. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. If there's no kindness in us, there's no Christianity. Now, there might be passions and sins and weaknesses, there can still be Christianity in a passionate man. But there cannot be Christianity in a man that's not kind, in a man that does not give with simplicity. You must cultivate this virtue. And you cultivate it not by trying to say, I'm going to give simply now. It's by having a sense of gratitude in your heart. Of course, if you have a sense of gratitude, it comes from your being recognizing your sins. How many of us really every day think about our sins, talk to God about our sins? The evening prayers as an examination of conscience, how many of us use it or something like it? How many of us really feel unworthy before God? You got to feel unworthy before God. It's true. But if you feel unworthy and you know that God is gracious to you, then there's this energy in you. That's the energy that gets us to do these beautiful things. St. Paul says other things. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I would say another way of saying that would also be with simplicity. God has saved us. We want to save others. God has given to me, so I give to God's creatures. He's given to me, I give to them. It's a very simple formula. You don't need to know anything else. There's no other calculus involved. God has given to me, I give to others out of gratitude. St. Paul also says, let love be without dissimulation. Perhaps a better way to say that would be hypocrisy. And of course, a hypocrite who's pretending to love does not love. They're not simple at all. They're very complex. Liars are very complex people, aren't they? Because they have to come up with lie after lie. But people who tell the truth are very simple people. People who just love God because he loves us. Very simple people. You should be simple. All of these things that St. Paul is telling us are really because we have gratitude. And then their energy of that gratitude propels you to give simply, to show mercy with cheerfulness, to love without hypocrisy. They're all basically saying the same thing. Now, there's one other thing that I want to mention. It's kind of like making a hard turn here, and I apologize for it, but I think it's critically important. In my daily life, I see people that don't understand the spiritual life. They might think they're good and try to do good things, but they don't understand that the spiritual life is spiritual things first and then physical things. So St. Paul gives us this list of things that we should be doing, and he lists spiritual things first. Now, without following through on your spiritual things, you'd be a hypocrite. St. James talks about that. If we say we love and then we don't take care of people, we're hypocrites. But he says, for instance, have gifts according to the grace that's given to you. Whether prophecy, first prophecy. Prophecy is basically like preaching. One could say that I'm engaging in prophecy now, sort of a minor kind, without any real talent or spiritual gifts. But there is prophecy with spiritual gifts, where the prophets would say things that people needed to know. Maybe things that were going to happen, but not always. But also things that are necessary to be known, that the mind of Christ has revealed to them, and then they reveal to the people. This is a spiritual gift, higher than these other things, higher than showing mercy and everything else. That doesn't mean we don't show mercy, but if we have spiritual gifts, those are the things that give us the power to be able to give with simplicity, to have mercy with cheerfulness, to love without hypocrisy. So he says also, in ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or teaching on teaching, or exhorting on exhortation. Those are all spiritual things. I'm not doing anything specifically right now to feed the poor or to visit those in prison. I'm just talking to you. But I'm telling you spiritual things, and they are primary. He also says near the end of this little exhortation, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I like that word, instant. It's kind of archaic. It really means continuing in prayer. How many of us do that? How many of us stress prayer as the most important thing we do every day? How many of you do that? I can tell you as a confession, as a priest, I've always been very busy. I think I'm a little busier than your average priest. But I didn't remember to pray as much when I was a young priest. I prayed, but it wasn't absolutely number one. There might be days when I had to do things and I rushed out and I didn't do my commemorations. Now those days are very rare. Even when I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're very rare. Because it's most important that I pray for you. Not because I consider my prayers to be anything special. I don't expect God to hear my prayers. But I do expect God to hear the intent of my prayers. Not the person saying them, but the needs of those that I say them for. You know that story I've told you? St. Seraphim tells it about the prostitute that sees the man, the dead man, and the widow, her only son. You wouldn't think that a prostitute would have very powerful prayers, would you, right? It's a sinner. Well, she prayed that in a very humble way, despite her unworthiness, asking God, raise this son for the sake of the widow. And the son was raised from the dead. That's kind of the way I think of my prayers, like the prayers of a prostitute. But even the prayers of a prostitute, when they're prayed for someone who needs something, God hears them. I think that's pretty amazing myself. So I hope your prayers are like that. I hope that you stress your prayer above everything else. That's critical. Putting spiritual things first. You can't do the other things in the world that have physical aspects to them that are very important without doing the spiritual things first. Now, I don't expect you to go ahead and go start being prophets, you know. But on a certain level, you should proclaim the word of God by the way you live, by the things you say to people, and especially that you pray for people, that you pray before everything else. And not just as you're rushing out the door or as you're drinking your coffee and you're driving to work. It should be a priority. Because spiritual things first, then the other things, which are, they're important. They're just a tiny bit less important. One cannot have one and not the other. If you have only one and not the other, then you're a hypocrite. Either way, if you do spiritual things, but you don't love your brother in a tangible way, that's not Christianity. But also just doing things for your brother in a tangible way and not praying and cultivating the virtues in yourself, that's also not Christianity. I hope that you cultivate a habit of prayer. It's critically important. It's the thing that I want most for you to learn. Because if you have a habit of prayer, and with that prayer comes prayerful reading, especially the Gospels, then God will enlighten you in all things. God will show you that you're a sinner. And you'll understand you're that man that owes 500 and has been graciously forgiven. And that knowing that you've been graciously forgiven will move you to be simple in how you deal with other people and be kind to other people. Not because it's something you know you should do, but because it's just inside you. Things that we should do, that we know we should do, we're not very powerful in doing those. I mean, let's face it. You know you should follow the speed limit, but sometimes you're in a hurry and you don't, right? You're not really that committed to the idea of following the speed limit. You should be kind to people, but sometimes your passions overwhelm you and you're mad at that person or jealous or you want something that person has because you're not that committed to the idea because it's something you should do. Christianity is not stuff you should do. Christianity is who you are becoming. Christianity is the man who says, I owed 500 and I've been forgiven. Thank God. And then there's that feeling welling up inside you. It never ends. It's like that fountain of water that's spoken of that comes out of the belly. It never ends. You can give away love every minute and never have less of it because God loves. This is how you give with simplicity. This is how you show mercy with cheerfulness or you show love without hypocrisy. Just have a couple more comments for you because when I read St. Paul's list of things, I was thinking, I don't come that close to doing those things. It's kind of shameful. I was thinking another way of interpreting this idea of showing mercy with cheerfulness is to not be cynical. I show plenty of mercy. I do all kinds of things that are good for people. But sometimes there's a thought in my heart that, what's the use? I'm tired. Those are cynical thoughts. That's not cheerfulness. Somehow we have to recognize that we were once that person who owed 500. The person who owes 500 is going to go to debtor's prison and will never be seen again. There's not a chance for him. And yet the Lord forgave us. So there's other people who owe 500. Maybe they owe more. Maybe they owe less. And they look like they're not going anywhere. But we should show mercy with cheerfulness. Because God has forgiven us. He can forgive anybody. He can help anybody. That would remove cynicism. I'm more prone to cynicism. Perhaps I should blame it on my heritage, right? They say that the Irish have a dose of cynicism in them, right? But that's no excuse. If I'm just aware that God forgives me, then why be cynical? Why not just give love? God gave love to all 12 apostles. What is it, about 8% of them didn't turn out too well. It's a pretty high percentage. In the modern world, in the pastoral life, I don't know what, it's more than 8 that don't do well. But it doesn't matter if it's 98% that don't do well. We give to God. God gives to us, so we give to others. Plain and simple. You don't have to do any more thinking about it. And the less you think about it, the more you do. And then your heart is free. I was just reading something about someone who says when you pray for others, and you're there's a certain freedom in the soul. And when you forgive people who have hurt you, there's an immense freedom in the soul that has to be experienced to be understood. You can't understand it until it happens, until you do it. With all these things, they cannot be understood until they are experienced. May God help you to give with simplicity. May God help you to show mercy with cheerfulness. Have love without hypocrisy. And especially as the nexus of the things that caused these virtues, may God help you to be instant in prayer. God bless you.